but we are behind on income. We have some run rate control issues and also our CIP plan. In relation to income, I say we will give a little bit more detail, but we know that post-Cerner, our capture of our income through our coding has lagged behind. We've got a number of measures that we're working with our service teams to rectify that, and we're already seeing improvements in that as it currently stands. In relation to our run rates position, so our sort of daily expenditure on pay and non-pay, we have centralised controls regarding things like bank and agency expenditure up to the highest levels within the division. So now the divisional director is directly intervening around any additional spend on medical agency and bank staff, as well as the most senior nurse within the divisions doing that likewise for controls around nursing. We're also drilling into specific non-pay costs within each of the divisions, looking to make sure that we have got controls in that area. In the area of cost improvement plans, we are behind plan, and that's contributing to some of the divisional positions. We've now got a weekly review that the CFO and I conduct with all the divisions focusing on this issue. We're particularly emphasising the pay and non-pay controls regarding theatre efficiency and how we are using our services more efficiently. We're also seeing improvements in our length of stay, and so benefits around that. And also in non-pay areas that we know that we can make appropriate improvements around things like the use of blood products, the use of our costs in drugs regarding generic drugs onto patent medicines. And we've got a significant focus on that at the moment that will bring that back into play. We're also supporting the divisions with a team of colleagues from the corporate departments that will be actually put together to support the divisions in not only identifying but also delivering their CIP plans and getting that back on track. So we would expect to see improvements from the tail end of month four and into month five and beyond as we get back onto plan.
Sarika, do you want to make any comment on that? Wait for a microphone, sorry.
I was going to cover this later at the FIC update, but I think since Steve's mentioned it, we had a tough meeting on Thursday on our finances. SIPs are 6.9 million behind and our financial position is adverse. So I think the point from the non-execs was very clear that we need this to be fixed. We've been talking about it now for over a year in SIPs and pay and agency. I'm delighted to see that now there is a governance panel, which I think Bill advised me is meeting tomorrow to address bank and agency, which is 10 million overspent, and controls will be in place. I think the proof of the pudding lies when we get the results in 2 months' time, and we'll see what impact this has had. So I am going to keep a close watch on this. But it is of huge concern, and it's a big risk to us all.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. The second area I just want to highlight is on section F, page 5, around the timeliness report. We've had strong performance over the last 18 months around our referral to treatment times in terms of our sort of elective planned care for patients, both in inpatient care and outpatient care. In June, we underperformed around our three RTT measures, ostensibly around the issues that we've had in terms of our post-Cerner position, where we had already flagged that we had risks around that were known across many Cerner and other sort of PAS redeployments. So our current position is that we are looking to stabilise our data quality around our RTT position. We're getting increasing familiarisation of our staff with the new system. But there are four specific actions that we're undertaking that will return our position around our RTT performance back to performing. Firstly, we have got a daily patient targeted list that we are tracking through our services to make sure that the longest waiting patients are getting booked into treatment and that treatment has been expedited. We've got a central validation team that are making sure that the improved data quality of our reporting is being rapidly restored. We've got to focus specifically on the run rate, so we know that there is a volume of patients that we should be treating in terms of their inpatient care each week, each month. We're focusing that down very much at service level, and particularly in the areas of general surgery, orthopaedics, urology and ENT. And finally, to make sure at the front end that we have got accuracy in terms of our our pathways, then we are increasing the level of training post the Cerner go live for our staff within admin areas. And I'd expect to see our position around RTT return to performing again within the next 2 months.
So, just to be absolutely clear, we're not performing to the level we should be performing because we're not recording properly, or because the system is actually not allowing the people to come in, not dealing with the issue. So is it both or one?
It's in terms of our overall position as a trust, it is the former. It's about how we are recording. We've had strong RTT performance throughout the last 12 months as an organisation, and I'm confident we'll return that back to plan.
Yeah, so we're not dealing with the issues. It's the system that appears to say that we're not dealing with the issues.
Absolutely, okay. And there are four services that are highlighted, that we have been highlighted to the board, that we know we need to make further improvements overall in terms of the timeliness of the inpatient treatment that we're offering, and we continue to focus on those four services. The final area I'd just like to highlight is section E on page 4, which is around efficiency. I think the board has rightly raised some of the issues in terms of our efficiency measures around length of stay and our efficiency measures in particular around theatres. This issue kind of binds the first two points together, and we specifically need to improve our efficiency areas in the position around theatres in particular. That will actually ensure that we are able to maintain our sort of run rate of activity through our theatres for patients, but also to do that whilst trying to improve our financial performance. We've already commenced a programme regarding theatre efficiency, which is under the banner of our Clinical Transformation Programme, with strong clinical leadership from across the surgical services. And we've got a particular focus on our theatre improvement and theatre efficiency at the Charing Cross. And from the data that's reported in the scorecard on those very early days, we can see an upward movement in terms of our theatre utilisation already, and we'd expect that to continue. We're also then focusing from the central team on working across 10 service areas within outpatients to again improve our efficiency and utilisation and our offer to patients within outpatients, so as we can maintain that as a strong area as well. I'll pause there, Chairman, and then just offer colleagues any other opportunities to pick out highlights from the operational report.
Chris?
Thanks, Steve. Just up to highlight just two or three things. Firstly, the section, just to confirm that our mortality rates remain amongst the lowest in the country, and that we've had none of the high risk mortality or negative doctor posture alerts in recent months. We have had fewer serious incidents this year as compared to the same stage of last year, although we did report one never event in June. This is a very complicated case reported at the Quality Committee, which on investigation does meet the criteria for a never event. Obviously, I won't go into the detailed clinical aspects of this now, but it does relate to a patient on the renal service, and that it's one of those never events which is, rather than being obvious at the time it happens, becomes clear that it's a never event in retrospect as the investigation proceeds. Professor Alison Holmes, our Director of Infection Prevention and Control, isn't here today, but I just wanted to refer to the two cases of MRSA which are allocated to the Trust during May, both very complicated patients and both unfortunately contaminated samples, so not actually bacteremias, but that still means that they're attributed to us, unfortunately. And also just on the Clostridium the C. diff, where we've had a similar